The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Toward the beginning of the musical Oliver, the boys in the orphanage line up to eat, and as they do, they sing a hymn of praise to food, glorious food. It concludes with these lines. Food, glorious food, what wouldn't we give for that extra bit more? That's all that we live for. Why should we be fated to do nothing but brood on food? Magical food, wonderful food, marvelous food, fabulous food, beautiful food, glorious food. Perhaps a bit over the top for most of us, but after all, we have enough to eat, maybe too much, while the orphans had little. Nevertheless, their words express what is so ordinary that it usually goes without saying, human beings like to eat. Not just have to eat, but like to eat. Food is fuel for sure, but a whole lot more. So we associate all kinds of good things with eating. Sensual pleasure, socializing, hospitality, prestige, and even religion. Now, of course, as religion has receded in modern times, so sacred eating has become less prominent also. It's striking, therefore, to modern readers to see how often food and eating come up, even in the New Testament, both in the Gospels. Remember, for example, the story of the disciples plucking grain in order to eat on the Sabbath, and the epistles, as here in Romans, where it seems to be a question of whether the Jewish dietary laws were still binding, or 1 Corinthians, where the opposite question seems to have been in view, could Christians eat meat that was once offered to idols? Now, the early church found questions like these very challenging, so the sacred penmen had to address them, and our Bible, therefore, has such texts. But the question is, what do we do with them today, when eating has been reduced almost entirely to a secular matter? And what can we learn from a community that was fracturing over food? Now, of course, one way to go is to talk about any form of sacred eating that remains. For us, certainly the Lord's Supper. So we ask, does this text have any implications for us when we eat and drink the Lord's Supper? At first blush, we might say no. Certainly the Eucharist has been a cause of division among Christians because of arguments over what it is and what it all means. Churchmen have spilled a lot of ink over such questions and have hurled more than one anathema at others who disagreed. But, in all fairness, I think you can hardly avoid such issues if you take the sacrament seriously. And texts like this morning's regarding Christian liberty have nothing to do with the Eucharist. Or do they? Well, probably not directly, but perhaps in part. So let's see. A few years ago, somehow a class I was teaching got out of control. That happens, not too often, I hope, but it does happen. And on this particular occasion, the issue at hand was what to do with the remains of the sacrament, the consecrated leftovers, so to speak. Now, I don't know how one of my history courses ever got onto that topic, but we did. Opinions varied, and they were being expressed with a certain degree of intensity until at length one of the students really brought us all up short by suggesting that instead of worrying so much about what to do with the body of Christ after communion, to to which the scriptures do not speak, perhaps we should pay more attention to our treatment of the body of Christ about which they do speak, namely, our fellow Christians. And that is exactly the point of the text before us this morning. Now, as in that classroom argument over the sacred remains, so here in concern for the dietary laws, Christians were really falling into that trap, that perennial trap, of making our faith into a matter of forms and ceremonies, of reducing true religion to a list of do's and don'ts, kind of like the Pharisees of old. Now, in the case before us, there were two groups: those who were treating food as still having something sacred about it. So eating for them or not eating, as the case may be, was a holdover of their days under the old religion. But then there were also those who knew better. They knew that the old laws were all done away with, and that meant that food was only food and nothing more. And so they insisted on eating it, regardless of what anybody thought or what anybody else felt when they saw them doing so. But now, in either case, true religion was coming down to food. And faithfulness was all about eating, either to do it or not. And no one was giving much thought to their fellow Christians except to show them that they were wrong. Now, a religion that boils down to some external matter regarding which I can show my superiority to others, that's always going to have a lot of appeal. I mean, after all, it's the way we think anyway. I'm number one, but now we can give it a religious gloss. God says I'm number one, and you're not. Now, that has an appeal, but is it really Christianity? Is it really the religion of Jesus? Well, of course not. It's not even close. As this text reminds us, and virtually every other in the New Testament, God is calling us to live outside of ourselves in a right relationship with him and with each other. And the word that he uses to describe this summons is the same in both cases, that is, love. And love is not for show. Love is for real. And love doesn't deal with forms, it deals with substance. Indeed, love is the tie that binds us all together. So, the sacred eating that we still do in our churches is actually often called communion. But what does that word mean? Sharing. And it's called this, first of all, because out of love, God shares with us the saving work of Jesus. But also because we are sharing in that love with each other. As St. Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So we don't go to the Lord's Supper as individuals, we go together. And not for physical food, but for holy nourishment, to receive a food that brings us peace and forgiveness and right relationship with God, because of the saving work of Jesus, the body given for you, the blood shed for the remission of your sins. But this food, this truly glorious food, if you will, is also the power and the impetus to love our brother in Christ, to put his interests ahead of our own, to be concerned for his weakness when we are strong. In short, to love each other because Christ has first loved us. Now, That's Christianity. Nothing more, but also nothing less. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus.